This is Divorce Happy Hour, a show about divorce and issues people face going through divorce. Your co-hosts are Christina Previtt and John Knocklinger. For more information about the show and to connect with us, head over to divorcehappyhour.com. And now, on to today's show. All right, welcome to Divorce Happy Half Hour. My name is John Knocklinger, and my lovely co-host is Christina Previtt, and she's looking absolutely fabulous today. I mean, that is that a jacket or a shirt? What are you wearing?
This is a jacket. I thought you were going to say ravishing.
Well, ravishing, I mean, I could use all kinds of adjectives. I mean, we could go on that way. I mean, it's just, you look fantastic.
Well, thank you, John. You don't look so bad yourself.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I wasn't fishing for any compliments, of course. So we're here, as we are every Friday, to discuss some all things divorce. And today we're going to pick up a topic we've talked a lot about on our podcast, and that is mediation. And more specifically, we're going to talk about how attorneys and a mediator might work together. Because I get this question a lot from people who will contact us and will be like, I want to do divorce mediation. And Christina, they say, do I need to get an attorney? Or what if I want someone to review this while we're going through mediation? Or do I go have to talk to an attorney to find out what I'm entitled to? You know, all of those questions I get asked pretty routinely when I'm talking to people that want to go through mediation. So today we're just going to talk a little bit about that and kind of how these two worlds collide and where you might want an attorney, where you might not need an attorney. But we're just going to talk a little bit about this today. But Christina, I guess first question for you is, have you encountered this question from people, and what kind of advice comes right off the top of your tongue whenever they ask that kind of question?
Well, you know, yes, I do get this question. I actually just had a call with someone in the past day or two who's very concerned was that he felt that both parties were committed to doing mediation because they didn't want to do the whole, you know, what I like to call the shit show. They didn't want to do all that, the divorce shit show, and really wanted to streamline the process and not spend a ton of money on it. Because we all know once you get involved in litigation, it's sort of like a runaway train. But that said, his concern was that he felt like he probably needed some legal advice, and he felt like his wife probably needed some legal advice too. And did we do that? And, you know, I have to be careful at that point because it's very important that whoever you're talking to, their role is defined pretty early on. So they're either going to serve as your mediator, which means they're neutral, or they're working for you, meaning they're giving you legal advice. And part of that could be talking about strategy. So to answer your question, what do I say? I just alert them to that in the beginning, look, if you're calling me for legal advice, then I can do that for you, but then I can't mediate. So you sort of have to decide, at least right now, I don't want to do anything to taint the relationship, so that if they want to use me for mediation, they can. So this individual decided that he really did want to use NetSquire for mediation. So he was going to go off and consult with someone else so that he felt more educated when he does finally sit down for mediation. And I don't think that's a bad idea. But and you let me know what you think, John, because you are actually the one that does all of the mediation at NetSquire. So I'm kind of interested in your perspective. But my feeling is when you go to mediation, you shouldn't be so concerned about strategy. I mean, there's, you know, if you're interested in strategy, and, you know, strategy to me kind of implies that, you know, you're trying to sort of get one over on the other party. No, I don't know that you're the best fit for mediation, because that's not really what mediation is for. It's just to help facilitate a discussion and facilitate an agreement. And yes, you want to be informed and educated, but the mediator can, to some degree, inform you and educate you, right? Like, you're not going to sit there and say, well, I think alimony should be X amount of dollars. But because that might be a little too much like legal advice, but you can sort of give a range. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, we're professionals. We've been doing this a long time. We kind of know generally how the court is probably going to treat alimony, how the court is going to treat asset distribution. And I don't see any reason why we can't share that information at a mediation session. So that's my feeling about it. But John, why don't you tell us how you handle that? Because when you're at mediation.
Yeah, well, I'll back up just a little bit. And because I've had this conversation with so many different people. And what I love about legal advice, and I want everyone to just realize this, divorce law is all shades of gray. So when we're talking about legal advice, what we're actually talking about is you going to somebody and them giving you their opinion about what you're entitled to. There is no black and white, you know, formula for most anything except for child support. So because of that, you're getting someone's opinion, which means if you went to another attorney, you might get a different opinion. So that's why legal advice you should take with a grain of salt, because all it's really doing is just giving you sort of the universe of which you should be sort of thinking about things. If you are interested in someone telling you what you're entitled to and you're interested in getting that result no matter what, you're not a good candidate for mediation. You're just not. So I just want everyone to be clear on what legal advice is. You're getting a lawyer's opinion, a subjective opinion based on their experience of what the outcomes might likely be. So you're not getting like the answer necessarily. You're just getting their opinion. So that all being said, when you come to mediation, I agree with what Christina just said. As a mediator, I try to leave the law at the door. And what I mean by that is I don't want to get caught up on, you know, what our laws say or what all the factors are and all this other nonsense that results in people spending a year of their life and spending all this money on divorce. So when we start talking about things like alimony or, you know, how we're going to divide the kids' expenses or college expenses or whatever else we're talking about, I come at it from a very practical perspective. You know, forget about the law. There's ways of actually talking about things without actually even knowing what the law is. I mean, I always use alimony as a great example. We can just look at everyone's like what you're actually spending and how much you actually have and just sort of see what feels right in any kind of situation. And you don't need legal advice for that. You don't need to know what some attorney's opinion is about whether you're entitled to alimony, how much it should be. You can have a conversation about what's fair, because that's what we're trying to do in mediation, is what's fair in this family structure. I mean, you have a lot of people that come to mediation have kids. Not everybody, but if you have kids, you know, we're dealing with the kids, we're dealing with the money, we're dealing with the assets. And I always remind everyone, you're trying to find something that overall is fair. Everyone gets, you know, especially in litigation where you've got two attorneys, people fight over each and every little bitty, stupid thing in a divorce, as opposed to trying to figure out what's fair overall. And so when we talk about legal advice, I agree that if you're going to get legal advice and it's important for you to know what you're, quote, entitled to, you need to do that before you start mediation. Because if you go through mediation and then go have that consultation and then say, well, I'm not agreeing to anything, we just agreed to a mediation because this person just told me that they thought it was all a bunch of crap and it was too low or it's too high or whatever else, you've just completely wasted everyone's time and money. So you need to go beforehand if it's important. But I just want everyone to remember that after we're done with mediation and you have an agreement, you can have someone review that agreement and make suggestions on maybe ways the wording could be altered a little bit to better protect you or to better, you know, to be clearer in terms of what it is that you want without completely destroying the entire, you know, the entire agreement. I mean, that just happened this morning. I just had a mediation where I did an agreement and both parties took the agreement to attorneys and the attorneys proposed changes that didn't destroy the agreement we came up with, but just clarified certain things, just made sure, you know, certain language was done correctly. Because don't forget, everybody, as a mediator, I'm trying to write an agreement in a way that is neutral as possible. In other words, not putting my finger on the scale and doing language that would be better for one person than the other. But I will just say that legal advice is important if, from the standpoint of the mediator is not there to be your attorney. So if you go through this whole process and you get to the end and you sign an agreement and get divorced, and then a year later you find out that there was something you were entitled to, or the number you agreed to was too little or too big based on whatever you've heard in that year since you've been divorced, don't come crying to anybody, because you do have an opportunity to get some advice before mediation starts. And I think that's kind of what I wanted to talk most about today, is just understanding, you know, that you can do it. So I guess the question for you, Christina, is what types, if someone was going to get legal advice before they started, what types of things do you think would be the most important things for someone to get legal advice about before they start mediation?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, whatever is most important to them. So if you've got a stay-at-home mom who, you know, we know will likely get alimony, then you should probably talk about that. Like, how do I know how much alimony I should get? And you know, what should I be thinking about as we have these discussions at mediation? Or another issue that comes up is, you know, maybe it's important to mom to stay in the house. Is she entitled to do that? How can she do that? Because, and you know, some of these things, like I said, there's a little overlap in mediation. You know, I think the inquiry there is, well, can the wife afford to stay in the house? So how much equity is there? What other resources does she have? You know, you can come up with creative ways to achieve that in a settlement at mediation, but to, you know, to go to an attorney before that, before you even get to mediation, you should just understand generally what you're entitled to. But you shouldn't be, excuse the pun, married to getting that, right? Like so many people, especially lawyers, get so stuck on, well, you know, she should get X, Y, and Z, and we're not going to settle for anything less or anything different. But you get really stuck on that script, and it can be the bottleneck to getting anything done. You know, you can kind of move things around. Like I kind of think about it sometimes like little kids, like, you know, you have a brother. I don't know if you remember when you were a kid, you'd swear your brother got, you know, more mashed potatoes on his plate than you did. Now he got more. I don't know. I did that with my brother, and I think kids do that. It's almost like that. Like he's got more mashed potatoes, and it's like, yeah, maybe he does have a little more mashed potatoes, but you got more chicken, or, you know, your brownie is bigger. It really is kind of like that when you go to mediation or when you settle. Maybe someone does get a little more here, but then you get a little more somewhere else, and it all kind of evens out. So I think when you go to the lawyer, you just have a general sense of what am I entitled to? You know, where should alimony be? How do we calculate child support? You know, what does it look like in terms of asset division? So that you're educated when you go to mediation. But then I think once you get to mediation, you can't be stuck on, well, we have to do it the way my lawyer said. Right? Because that the whole purpose of mediation is to be creative and come up with solutions that can work for both of you as a family.
Right? Because it was that one attorney's opinion. And that's, yeah. You have to look at it like that. It's an opinion. It's somebody's opinion. Like Christina and I, if you came to us and you talked to each one of us completely independently, a lot of things we probably would give you similar advice on, but there's a very good chance that, you know, Chris, if you looked at alimony, Christina might say the number was significantly different than my number. They might both be within a range of reasonable outcomes, but they might be completely different numbers. And so that's why you can't be married to, I agree with you, you can't be married to what an attorney tells you, because you're not going to resolve anything if you do that. You're just not. I mean, if you say, listen, that's what this attorney told me, and that's what I want, then mediation's not for you.
Well, I would also say that, you know, think for yourself. You know, it's hard sometimes for people when they're going through this scary experience, and maybe they don't think of themselves as being sophisticated. You know, maybe they didn't handle the finances, and that's all very scary to them. Now's a good time to empower yourself. You know, I look at you going to an attorney as educating yourself. You're not going to someone to tell you what to do. You're going to get information and you're going to figure it out with some help. So empower yourself. When you go to mediation, when you're having these discussions, it's important for you to kind of have thought about what do you want your life to look like after this divorce. You don't necessarily have to have everything all figured out, every detail, but generally, you know what's most important to you. You know, like I said, a lot of times I see women that it's really important for them to stay in the house, especially if they have kids. Know that when you're going in, make it known that that's something that's really important to you. Maybe it's possible to make that happen. And there might need to be some creative compromises somewhere. So, you know what I mean? Like maybe you get more of the house and your spouse gets more of something else so that you can stay in the house. It just really depends on the circumstances. But I think that's really how people should go into mediation. Have information, which you can get talking to a lawyer, but really go into the mediation with an open mind and ready to problem solve, because that's what it is. If you go with this intention of, well, I have this little list, you know, that my attorney gave me, and I have to get all these things, or I lost somehow, that's not going to be helpful or productive.
No, it's not. And I think the other side of this, just so everyone that's listening understands this, you don't have to go to an attorney. All we're talking about is if it's important to you to get this kind of advice, you do it before mediation. But you don't have to. I will tell you, during mediation, if I feel like there's a very unfair result happening, even though I'm a neutral party, I'm not going to put my finger on the scale, but I am going to bring the person that I feel is on the really short end of a very unfair result. And I am going to tell them, listen, before we proceed, I would really like for you to go speak to an attorney, because that sort of, you know, my goal in mediation, number one, is to figure out some way of resolving your case in a way that both of you think is acceptable. But we also want to achieve fairness, like a fairness overall. And again, fairness doesn't mean 50-50 all the time. Fairness doesn't mean, you know, to the penny exactly what, you know, someone thinks you might be entitled to. Fairness is subjective, because as a mediator, I'm deciding whether or not I think it's really fair. But if I think it's really unfair, like it's just so, you know, like a stay-at-home mother that's been, you know, hasn't worked in 20 years, you know, is agreeing to waive alimony or something, like something without getting anything substantial in return, I'll take her and I'll say, listen, before we proceed, I really would like you to go speak to an attorney about this issue that we've just talked about and just get some advice before we proceed. And that's kind of, I don't know if other mediators do that, but that's certainly the way I do it. And I'll tell you, I've only had to do it once that I can recall, because most of the time when people come to mediation, Christina, they're both kind of on the page of trying to be fair with each other. Like, I'll give you a great example. Most of the time people know there should be alimony. Like most of the time, I'll tell you, like most of the time they both come in and say, listen, we know there should be alimony, but we have no idea how much or how long. Like they'll ask me stuff like that. And when I get asked questions like that, even though I'm not acting as an attorney, I agree with what you said a minute ago. I'll give ranges. I'll say, well, listen, you know, like I've been doing this 20 years, and in this type of situation with this kind of, you know, these kinds of incomes and everything, here's kind of a big range where it might end up. And here's a range of years. So is that helpful? And most of the time they'll say yes. And guess what? Almost always they just agree somewhere in the middle of whatever I just told them. But it's still, I'm not telling them what to do. I'm just giving them a little of the education. I think you were right, Christina. Educating people, even as a mediator, there's nothing wrong with doing that. We just have to be careful not to give like the answer and say, this is what I think you should do. We have to give people just sort of options and say, here are your options, because people come to us looking for a way to resolve everything. So I just, you know, this is a really important topic to a lot of people. I think that everyone listening to this needs to understand that mediation is a process where you do not have to have an attorney at all. But you can have an attorney for limited purposes. You can just go talk to somebody for an hour, just get a little advice, come to mediation. You do not have to have an attorney throughout the whole process, but if you want one and it's important to you, you can have an attorney throughout the entire process. And if you're confused by this, just think about yourself and your spouse, because most of the time where I recommend you get a legal advice is where one person had very different access to information throughout the marriage than the other. So if like your spouse controlled all the money for the last 20 years and you know nothing about money, mediation is going to be difficult. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be difficult because you're constantly going to be questioning, do you know everything? Do you have enough information? So something like that, I would say always get legal advice. Just get some things. But what do you think about that, Christine?
No, I totally agree. I was actually thinking about that as you were talking. And I do think it's important if there's one person, and I'll generalize, it's often the woman, not always. But you know, you do LGBT mediations too. And sometimes there's one party that just, you know, because it makes sense, right? That one person sort of handles the finances. But if you're the one that really doesn't know a lot about the finances, you know, part of being empowered is being informed and educated. And that can be in the form of having bank statements and knowing your budget and knowing more about the money. So, because how can you can really make a decision about what's fair if you don't even know what you all have? So, I'm a big proponent of everybody being empowered through this process, even if that's something that feels new to you. Just be informed.
Absolutely. Well, as all of you who have been watching our weekly show know, NetSquire has a mediation package where we actually handle mediation and get you divorced. So if that's something that's appealing to you, you know, reach out to us. You can direct message us. We can get you more information about our process. We've had so many people take advantage of going through this and have just been very, very happy with the fact that they were able to get through their divorce, you know, quickly and amicably, to the point where their spouse and them could actually leave and figuratively shake hands at the end of it and not leave, you know, pissed off and came and stand the side of each other, which is what happens in litigation. A lot of people after litigation, just the thought of their spouse makes them, you know, nauseated, and they just get so pissed off. There's such a better way to do all of this. And if you're interested in us helping you, please reach out to us. We love to help people resolve their divorce without fighting. And this is really what, you know, gets us up in the morning. And we're very excited to continue to educate all of you about mediation and all the alternatives to the, as Christina started off, the shit show of the typical divorce process where you have the two attorneys and you go to court.
Yeah. Right. So, well said. I don't have nothing to add.
All right. Well, join us again next Friday for another episode of Divorce Happy Half Hour. We'll see everyone soon.
Bye. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening. For more information, check out divorcehappyhour.com. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.